Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Well, this is the second lesson where I'm offering to the Bible student certain suggestions that, if followed, I believe will help us to understand the Scripture. We must study the Scripture, but we must study it intelligently, and this is what we're trying to offer in these two lessons. Now, we've talked about rightly dividing the Word. We need to know who's speaking. We need to know to whom the words are addressed. But we also need to have respect for the dispensation in which the words were spoken. Now, friend, a dispensation is simply a system by which God governs man for a certain period of time. According to Scripture, there have been three dispensations, and these are named, for want of better identification, the Patriarchal Age, the Mosaic Age, and now the Christian Age. It is in this area of dividing the word of truth that so many have fallen short of the knowledge of truth. There's so much religious error that has been propagated by a failure to understand these three dispensations. People sometimes try to take things that are taught in one dispensation and apply them to another. Well, that's a mistake, and we will not understand the will of God if we do that. Now, the patriarchal age began with Adam. It continued for the Israelite people until the giving of the law of Moses on Mount Sinai. And it is thought that this manner of God governing man continued with the Gentiles until the time of Christ. But this was a system of father rule, the patriarchal rule, with God speaking to the fathers, to the heads of the families, the fathers serving, if you will, as priests for the family, giving God's will directly to the family through the father. As far as we can tell, there was no written law in this family system of religion. And then for the Israelites, there's the Mosaic law that was given to them by Moses at Mount Sinai. And it was to govern Israel until the coming of Christ, Galatians chapter 3. And it was a written law, limited in its purposes, of course, but having a very special service as a type or a shadow of things to come in Christ. But this Mosaic law was only for the Israelite nation. And today, we live under the authority of Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Well, God spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, this last dispensation, spoken unto us through his Son. You see, the law of Moses was fulfilled. It was nailed to the cross. It was taken out of the way. It was to last until the faith did come. And it was to last until the religion given through Christ was to come. And that was the new covenant of which Jeremiah had prophesied. And the Hebrew letter tells us that this new covenant is the will of Christ. We shall be judged not according to what went on under the patriarchal law or the Mosaic dispensation, but according to the will of Christ, as is revealed in the New Testament. We're going to be judged by his word, John 12, verse 48. Now, as we study the Bible, we must be alert and we must be attentive into which dispensation is under consideration. We can't take the instructions God gave to Noah and build an ark and expect to be saved. We're not to offer animal sacrifices as did those who lived under the patriarchal and Mosaic system. Nor are we to be surprised that those of former ages were not commanded to be baptized. This is something that pertains to the Christian age. People sometimes say, I want to be saved like the thief on the cross. Friend, the thief on the cross didn't live under the gospel system. He didn't live under the Christian dispensation. He lived and died under the Mosaic system. We live subject to a different system than did the thief. So as we study, we must learn which dispensation is applicable here, so we'll know just how and what information really applies to us. But another thing we need to consider is to study the text in context, lest it simply becomes a pretext. If you take the scriptures out of context, you can make them say most anything you want to, and that's what people have done. We read how Judas went out and hanged himself. Well, shall we follow with the words, "Go thou and do likewise"? Well, possibly we could even add, "And what thou doest quickly." Well, who would say that would apply to us today? Friend, if you take the words out of context, you could make it mean that. You know, some have wrested the words of Paul, oh, so viciously, in their effort to try to dismiss the command of the Lord to be baptized. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said in part, "I thank God I baptized none of you." The dishonest false teacher will not read all of that passage of Scripture, and they do not take this phrase in context. This passage of Scripture is not teaching not to be baptized. It's actually condemning division, and Paul goes on to state that he had baptized some. He even named some that he had baptized. But since some were divided themselves according to men, he was glad that there were no more baptized by him than they were, lest they call themselves after Paul, rather than calling themselves after Christ. And the false doctrine of the necessity of celibacy, that's based upon a misapplication of Paul's words regarding marriage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul is not forbidding marriage. He is advising situations under the present distress, verse 26. And he said it was best under those situations not to marry. But he expressly states that one does no wrong to marry, and one does no wrong not to marry. Marry is a privilege. To marry is not an obligation. But to misapply the teaching of the Apostle Paul is to take what he has said out of the context, out of the subject that he is discussing, and apply it to something that it doesn't apply, and therefore you gain a misunderstanding of Scripture. But as we study the Bible, we must understand that God is consistent. God does not contradict himself, and he's the author of the entire Bible. Now, there is perfect harmony in the Scriptures, and we do err to interpret, that is, to try to get the meaning of or assign a meaning to in such a fashion that would make God stand against God. This, friend, is God's Word. To claim a contradiction in the Bible, well, that's an indictment of God. And God clearly refutes that teaching. He is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33. Friend, when passages seemingly contradict, it's because we have not yet learned the real meaning of it. God has put a meaning there, and we haven't learned what it is if we think it contradicts what he has said somewhere else. And when people do think they see a contradiction, there is no contradiction. They just simply don't understand it yet. You know, often people will take what we call an obscure passage, that's a passage that's rather hard to understand, and they will assign a meaning to that passage that contradicts very clear and easily understood passages. Why, that isn't make God inconsistent with himself. For instance, people sometimes take the book of Revelation and they try to conclude that it teaches things that clearly contradict other parts of Scripture. Regarding Revelation, by the way, that's a highly figurative book, highly symbolic book. We do err to draw it into contradiction with the rest of the Bible. For instance, some have taught that there will be a literal reign of Jesus on earth that will begin at his next coming, and at his next coming he will establish his kingdom. The fact is, the kingdom of Christ already exists. It began on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ. The Lord is King of kings and Lord of lords now, as we have studied previously, and he is reigning now. And when he comes again, he will announce the judgment. He will not set up the kingdom. He will deliver up the kingdom. The book of Revelation is a book of victory for the faithful. And also, we cannot learn the truth if we do not take all that God has said on a given subject. And this is a fault of so many. To isolate a passage from other teaching on that same theme under consideration is to omit God's full truth. People make this mistake when it comes to learning how to be saved. You know, we hear people talk about salvation by faith alone, or by grace alone, or by other such things alone. But Scripture teaches that we are saved by faith, but not by faith alone. We are saved by grace, but not by grace alone. We're saved by the blood of Christ. We're saved by works. We're saved by hope. We're saved by preaching. We're saved by baptism. We have a part to play in our own salvation. We're saved by repentance, and on and on. There are many matters that make up the various components of God's plan for saving man. It is gross error, it is a mishandling of truth, to simply take part of what God has said on a subject and know the rest. You can't go through the Bible like you would a cafeteria line, picking and choosing what you want. You have to take all the Scripture. It's unreasonable to say that one part is the whole thing. And friend, to learn the message of God, we must have the right attitude of heart. We must want the truth. We must love the truth. We must seek the truth. If we study it just simply out of curiosity and nothing more, we're like those in Athens. And they didn't come to a knowledge of the truth for the most part. Why, it only becomes an intellectual exercise, and it means nothing to us any more than in reading a novel. If we search the Scriptures just to prove ourselves right, or to prove somebody else wrong, that's not the reason for studying the Bible. We must study the Bible with a desire to know what is the will of God. And by observing the proper rules of study, then making application of the message, that we can learn those things, how they apply to our individual lives. We may well become experts in the knowledge of many things that this world offers, but it's not until we know God's word and obey our lives and conform ourselves to what the Bible teaches that we can accomplish what God intends for our life. Friend, keep in mind, when you pick up that book that says the Holy Bible, that's God's word. That's the way God speaks to us today, to tell us what he wants and how we can be pleasing to him. And when we study it, listen to what it says, but listen to who is speaking. Listen to whom these words are being spoken to. Rightly divide that Scripture. Know about the dispensation in which it is spoken. Keep things in context. Remember, God doesn't contradict himself, but take the whole truth of God on a given subject, and maybe above everything else, have the real desire to know the truth. You want to know God's truth so you can believe it, you can obey it, you can be saved according to it, and then all will be well with your soul. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.